This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07, and for our first story, we're talking about dirty toilets and civic awareness among Malaysians. This is after Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad highlighted the importance of civics education during the launch of the national level civics education 2019.
So school kids have civic education, but sometimes you wonder if adults need it just as much or even need it more, because I'm sure we've faced our fair share of horror stories when going to public toilets in Malaysia, and it could be in a restaurant or a shopping mall or a tourist attraction. And when you see these kind of like appalling conditions in some public toilets, it really reflects badly on us as a people and as a country, especially if you think about tourists who come here and see the state of these public toilets.
Ayman, did you just say in some public toilets? give me that okay. Short list of the ones which are okay.
Some shopping malls are quite good.
Some shopping malls.
Shopping malls, yeah.
Right, shopping malls.
But like tourist attractions, I mean, I've been to the one in Lake Gardens, Perdana Botanical Gardens. Oh, that was a nightmare.
That's bad.
Yeah, bad.
And it's consistently bad over the length and breadth of the country and over time.
See, yeah.
And I'm sure that Dr. Mahathir, he's famous for having his little black book where he makes his notes when he's traveling of things that must be changed. And I'm sure since the 1980s, it's been
top of the list.
Top of the list. And yet nothing ever changed. For me, I think it's interesting to compare and contrast. Mm-hmm. When it really struck me that it was an issue, it was actually the first time I went to Thailand. Mm-hmm. Not that long ago, back in the 90s, we were driving. So we'd crossed the border from Malaysia, and I needed to go to the toilet. So I went to some regular roadside stall, and I was thinking, oh, God, this is going to be bad. And I go in, and it was perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, how would you define perfect?
It was dry, for a start. Something I hadn't really thought about. A toilet would be dry. It was clean. There were, like, flowers and stuff in there. And
this was in a pub, was it in a public tourist
attraction? I wouldn't even call it a restaurant. It was a stall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was expecting that the Malaysian style toilet is an Asian norm. But when I traveled through Thailand, every single time, every single toilet I've been to is perfect. So there are cultural differences, perhaps even environmental differences that make it possible for the toilets to be bad in Malaysia, but not in Thailand.
And I mean, I myself have never been to Japan before, but every time someone I know has been to Japan, they always tell me about the heavenly conditions in Japanese toilets with their fancy technology and seat warmers and just how comfortable and clean it is. And it just really brings home the point that it reflects, it's a representation of our country. Like when tourists come back, one of the things they may tell you about is their good experience or bad experience when going to these places. And it's something that we need to really take care of.
It's also a reflection of ourselves, to ourselves.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you know, tourists are not going to come, are not going to go. There are many places. I went to one in Kuala Terengganu. It was awful. The tourists were never, ever going to go there.
It's just very disappointing that our toilets, public toilets rather, are a last resort when they really shouldn't be, right? We spend so much time in the toilet, I think about 6 to 8 times a day, and overall in the span of our life, we spend more or less about 3 years in the toilet.
No, really?
Yeah, so this is statistics that's coming from, this is numbers that are coming from the World Toilet Organization. So if you're going to spend 3 years of your life in something, we got to make sure that the space at least is good and it isn't a last resort. So I know so many people who would just hold in and wait until they get home, or wait until they get to a place where they know there's a clean toilet. Then only they do their business, and it's also not exactly great for your health if you have to do that.
That is not that is a health issue as well. In India, where I just imagine the toilets are even worse, it has been found that a principal reason why women are unable to enter the workforce is because well, in India, the toilets don't even exist for women. But if the toilets are not good and women are not able to go to the toilet, then they can start getting infections and and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's a public health issue.
I think also it's a issue of perception as well, because I think that different people have different standards of cleanliness that they can tolerate when going to a public toilet. So I'm going to take an extreme example. For example, a lot of people, including me, would cringe at the idea of using a squatting toilet. So even if a public space has the cleanest squatting toilet in the world ever, I would still not use it just because of the idea of using it is just not something that I can accept. So it's an issue of perception as well, like how, what are the standards that you have and what can you tolerate?
We're learning a lot about Ayman and each other in this segment.
So after this, we're going to have this conversation with Jack Sim, founder of the World Toilet Organization, to just get a report card, essentially, and his thoughts on the story. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
5:14, you're listening to the Evening Edition with Kelvin, Ayman and Cam. We are talking about dirty toilets and civic awareness. This is after Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad said that civics education is very important and we need it to have cleaner toilets. So we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on civics education? Are they a vital part of the conversation when we talk about having clean toilets? You can let us know, 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we have on the line Jack Sim, founder of the World Toilet Organization. Jack, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
So what are your thoughts on Tun Mahathir's statement that the country's dirty toilets reflect on the levels of civility of its citizens?
I think this is a very important message, because everybody goes to Malaysia and they like the culture, the scenery, the tourists are very happy, but the toilet is not welcoming. So I think this is the last frontier. If you solve this one, I think your tourism will improve. And also for the local people, this is a really high quality of life that they should enjoy. Because, you know, this trend has been catching. In 1997, our Prime Minister Goh Chok Tong said exactly the same thing in Singapore. And then we started the Restroom Association and then the World Toilet Organization. Today, Prime Minister Modi of India is a champion of clean toilet in Malaysia, in India. And then President Xi Jinping is the champion of toilet in China. So as you can see, more and more world leaders are becoming toilet champions. So it is very timely that Mahathir is also a toilet champion. We're so happy about that.
So people have been complaining about the cleanliness of public toilets for the longest time, but it doesn't seem like there has been changes in our own toilet etiquette. How important is civic-mindedness towards the cleanliness of public toilets?
It's very, very important, but you have to do altogether three things. One is basically called ABC, architecture, behavior, and cleanliness. If you design the toilet, you have to design it in such a way that it's ergonomically easier to stay dry. If it's ergonomically easier to stay wet, it will be very dirty. Yeah. So you could have people washing their hands, but to dry their hands, it's so far away, hand dryer, so they will flick the water on the floor, and then the footprint will walk around, and it will be very dirty. So hand drying and hand washing and soap has to be together, right? Then the other one is that if you design the toilet for the cleaners to be very much easier to clean, then, of course, the cleanliness will be there. The cleaners have to be professionally trained. A lot of time people think that the cleaner is a very low-paid job, unskilled. It's not true. In Japan, the training of the toilet cleaner is a very, very highly appreciated, as if it's a technician. So the toilet cleaner is trained about how he's improving the health and hygiene of the people so that they can be productive and not sick. So they take pride in their work. So I think this is another thing very important. The toilet architecture, if, for example, is very old and broken, then the behavior of the person will also change, right? Because a person in a five-star hotel, the same person in a five-star hotel will behave very well, and then in a dirty coffee shop will behave differently. So I think the environmental engineering condition will make all three happen together. And of course, the culture of behaving well in the toilet, I think this takes some years. Mm. But if you do the cleaning and the architecture, this automatically will happen. The other thing is that the politicians who are promoting this has to believe in it themselves. A few years ago, I went to the Parliament House and I find that the Parliament House toilet is very dirty. So I think that this is something we have to start all the way from the top.
So I'm on that note about the design, we have two messages here. One saying that we have this culture of using the bidet, which of course leads it to being very dirty. And then the other one saying, well, all squatting toilets should just go because those are disgusting. How do squatting toilets and bidets fit into this conversation about cleanliness?
I think that the squat and sit are cultural. So if people are used to squatting, if you put seat very quickly, then they will squat on the seat. Okay, so that is, you get footprint on the seat cover. So that's also not good. So the best is to have a transition where you have one squat toilet and the rest seat. And then you put the signage outside so that they can choose that they want to squat. There are some people who cannot shit when they are not squatting. So the squat position is actually the best for bowel movement. The seat position is much more comfortable because squat, you need to know how to squat. A lot of people fall down. Yeah, so there are different benefits.
Can I jump back for a moment? You mentioned earlier when you're talking about the architecture and design, about the use of water in cleaning toilets, and I'm wondering. I mean, I've been to places where water is not used in abundance. I'm wondering, is there a cultural reason perhaps why we in Malaysia, and I wonder in Singapore, in perhaps olden times, why water is used so liberally?
So in Hindu and Muslim culture, washing is the habit. And then in the Western culture, in Chinese culture, wiping is the habit. Now, both have pros and cons. Of course, if you are washing, you can be very clean if you after that wash your hand with soap and you also cut your fingernails and you have to wash your hand with soap for quite thorough time before it's clean. And so if you don't have soap and water after you do anal washing, it can have a food contamination. So if you go to Middle East like Dubai or Saudi Arabia, you will find that the washer culture is very, very good, right? So you can find that it's very clean because that is part of the prayer. Every day you pray five times, you must have clear ablution. This is called najis. If you are dirty, your prayer is invalid. And then if you want to pray, you have to be very, very clean. So this is a very strong promotion point that Malaysia can use for the clean toilet.
Is being proactive in cleaning up after yourself and after the person before you something that has to be learned as part of our civic responsibility? I mean, like, is there a need for education on what the proper etiquette in public restrooms should be?
Because Malaysia is a majority Islamic country, so you can use the hadith, the scholarly books that explain very, very clearly how you can behave in the toilet. It's very clear, you know. When you go into the toilet, you must step in with your left foot because it's dirty. And then when you finish cleaning, you come out, you step out with your right foot because now you're clean. And then when you use the mosque to teach people about cleanliness, about ablution, then I think you can change a big part of the culture. Then for the non-Muslim, of course, the normal public education is important. But if you keep on blaming only the user and you don't renovate your toilet, you don't facilitate it properly, and you don't employ professional cleaner, I can tell you it will still be dirty. Because the cleaner is needed. Toilet will become dirty eventually. You see, we are putting our bodily dirt into the toilet, and of course, at some point, you have to clean it.
What steps taken in Singapore's own initiative towards clean public restrooms have proved successful? Successful towards that could be adopted here in Malaysia as a good, as some good first steps in achieving it.
I think the first step is to have a minister who is going to be the champion of this. And right now, if it's a prime minister, then let's do it from the PMO, Prime Minister office, because long ago you actually have a very passionate minister called Robert Lau. He was the deputy minister of housing and rural development from Kuching. But he passed away. And after that, there is no such a movement. So during the time, a few years, he was really, really promoting toilet. Of course, it doesn't solve immediately, but we have such a champion in Malaysia. And now I think if you have Dr. Mahathir to be the champion, I think that is the best. I'll be so happy to come up and do everything I can to help you for free.
Jack, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
That was Jack Sim, founder of the World Toilet Organization, talking to us about civic-mindedness and how we can keep our toilets clean. You can keep your thoughts coming. What can we do to improve the cleanliness of our public toilets? 7733 2900 is the number to call. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We also have a poll running on Twitter asking, are public toilets a last resort for you? So far, the votes have come in and they've said yes, 69%, no 10%, and 21%, I just use whatever, and that is a total of 89 votes. On WhatsApp, we have this message from Saw that reads, parents need to be trained on being civic-minded. I've come across a father that sounded off his child for using his hands on the toilet seat flush to flush the toilet. He showed his child how to flush with his legs, stepping on the handle. What is he teaching the next generation?
I've heard of people doing this, using their feet instead of their hands.
Oh, that's bad, is it? I mean, that's bad.
Oh yeah, definitely bad. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, instead just use the flush properly and then wash your hands afterwards.
No, absolutely, but there are some places where I've been to where it's like, I don't want to touch anything. Yeah. I don't even want to look at the place.
But I think that's also it is partially, as Jack said, on the end of the users themselves who have to take some responsibility in cleaning, keeping the toilets clean. But, and then on the other hand, it is also the design, right? So many of our toilets, besides not being designed to fit the norm, the able-bodied person, we also don't really have universal toilets in general. So a lot of our needs when we do step into the toilet isn't necessarily fulfilled. Like if you're carrying something, sometimes there isn't a place for you to put your item on, or if you have a child with you, that's also a different conversation. If you have other special needs, also not fulfilled. So there is a lot in our toilet that leaves us wanting in terms of the architecture and the design.
Absolutely. I think it's a very good point that Mr. Sim made there about the architecture.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something that needs to be thought about, because actually when people do design places, it is such an afterthought.
Mm.
The toilet, not just the toilet experience, but the fact that you have a toilet, it's as if it's an encumbrance on them, as if we're imposing something that they don't have to satisfy, that it's nothing to do with them. It's like, oh, here's a bucket in the corner.
Keep your thoughts coming. That number again, 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
6:06, you are with the Evening Edition now. Earlier in the hour, we were talking about dirty toilets and civic mindedness. Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad believes that civic education is part and parcel of the conversation about having cleaner toilets. So we've been asking for your thoughts about how we can keep our toilets clean. Ro has this message that reads, conventional toilets can use 5 to 7 gallons of water per flush, and the average person flushes 5 times a day. That's more water used than an entire village supplied by a well. Yes, please flush and go considerately, and also where possible, pee in the shower. It's both good for the environment and actually more hygienic.
Is it more hygienic? I don't know. We'll get all over your feet, yeah. I guess.
We don't want to get. I think our we got to decide where our detail kind of. That's a lot of water, isn't it? That's one of the things about this country, of course, is we have a lot of water. It rains a lot, and water is very cheap here. So we are prepared to use water very liberally without even thinking. If we had to think about it, our actual use of water, things could be different.
I heard about this, I don't know, should I call it a turn of phrase? Should I call it a phrase? Whenever we had water shortages, which was, if it's yellow, it's mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. And I don't know if that's necessarily the philosophy that Ro is aiming at also.
Yeah.
And we have this message here from Vimalan saying, I go jogging at the stadium near Taipan USJ. To my disgust, the washroom there are terrible. Ironically, this is the department that actually rates the cleanliness of hotels in toilets in restaurants. So now we know why most restaurant toilets are horribly dirty. I think stern action should be taken on the department head in charge.
But can I also say that actually, how often have we heard of restaurants, etc., being closed down because of their dirty toilets? We all know the toilets. Ooh, we all experience dirty toilets. But there's never any punishment. These are health code. Presumably there is a health code violations, but we never hear of it here.
I mean, there are people who come and evaluate the cleanliness of a restaurant in general. And a couple of years ago, there was a stretch in time where a number of mama restaurants closed down because of cleanliness issues, including the one in Bangsa. But a restaurant closing down because of the toilet specifically, I don't think I've heard of that before.
No.
Well, it is, you know, anecdotally, and for myself also, we know a lot of restaurants where, you can eat there, but you might not want to use the toilet there. And it's strange that that's become something humorous, right? Because if you consider the fact that the workers there themselves, the service workers there, the waiters, the cooks, whoever works there, there is a need for them to use the toilet as well. And I'm not sure if I want someone with dirty hands handling my food.
I think we've somehow conditioned ourselves to, you know, when we are in a restaurant, our body just automatically controls itself.
And not
have to engage in any of those activities.
We have a message here that reads, cubicles with bidet and without bidet does work in my office. My office toilet has 3 cubicles. 2 of them has a bidet. It is always the cubicle with the bidet that have people queuing. And I find it annoying that women take so long in the toilet. Hence, the 4 people who just want to pee, it will be great to have cubicles without a bidet.
And
Gavin, we were talking about this before that it, you know, this is a terrible thing. No, because women, why do people not design more toilets for women?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a crime.
It is, right? It's not equitable in the design. So there are several parts to that happening as to why it takes women a lot longer. I'm not mansplaining. Someone, if you know better than this, please call in at 777-332-900. Because part of it is, if you think about it, men's toilets essentially have 6 toilets available to them. If you think about, if you count the urinals as 3, and if you count the cubicles themselves as 3. So we have 6 toilets available. And it's also about the kinds of clothes that women are, that they wear. Sometimes it's the design that maybe has them, that requires them more time to take off to be able to use the toilet. So it is a bunch of factors. It isn't because they just want to spend more time, and perhaps they're the toilet for different reasons. If they're on their period, for example, that again takes up time. So to answer your question, there are a lot of different reasons why someone might take you know, a longer time in the toilet. And essentially also it boils down to Jack Sims' early arguments with the ABAC. Yeah. Architecture here is the main issue.
Architects and developers have known this since like forever, that queues build up at women's toilets. So build more women's toilets.
Yeah.
It's like really simple.
Our next message here comes from Janie. It reads, I participated in an exhibition in Vietnam, and even at the end of the day, the toilets were dry and clean with the waste bin neatly full. Nearly full. I had pondered this issue in Malaysia and wondered if it's the lack of accountability that should start at home. I was shamed once in a gentle but public way when I didn't replenish the toilet roll, even as a guest in an American Midwest bar. It was Cheers, the Ted Danson sitcom kind of place where everyone knows everybody's name, but it sure made me blush and definitely remember not to ever repeat the same thoughtless mistake again.
Yeah. Do any of us actually think though that anything's going to change?
When you call someone out, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, in the long run as well. If we start now, and if it starts at home, eventually, someday.
Yeah. I mean, like eventually, someday, 10 years time, it'll be like I don't know, Sweden. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
So positive for the Scandinavian countries.
No, I'm just guessing that Swedish people have very nice toilets. I've never been there, but you know what I mean.
And then we have this one from Raz saying, toilet vandalism is rampant in Malaysia. Just go to any petrol station and you can see some of the steel faucets missing.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And people scribbling on the walls and all kinds of graffiti, so-called, on the doors.
And this message from Nacha Tira saying, regarding women and toilets, preach. Thank you so much for that affirmation. I hope I was a mansplaining. Keep your toilet thoughts coming in.
Kelvinsplaining.
No.
It was Kelvinsplaining.
No. Anyway, cam aside, keep your thoughts coming. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.